It's hard to believe that we have finished up 2016, and we're starting off the first day of 2017, and it's hard to imagine the fact of how fast last year went, but it seems like it went so quick. And I know that time seems like it's passing quicker and quicker. And I think as you get a little bit older, it seems like you celebrated one Christmas and you look up and here comes another, you know. But we're glad you're here today. All I can tell you is that the passing of time moves us ever closer to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ says it's enough. And he's going to take us home. And so we rejoice in that. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. It says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" The challenge before us. I think this is one of the most thrilling incidents in all the Bible, the sending out of the 12 spies to search out the land of Canaan, the march through Egypt, including the 12-month sojourn at Mount Horeb, has occupied only 16 months from the time that they left Egypt to this point. Now the 12 tribes of Israel are now standing on the threshold of the promised land, and Moses has high hopes that within maybe just a few weeks' time they will have inherited or depossessed the inhabitants of the land and taken possession of it. But instead of going resolutely forward in the shining of God's marvelous light, letting God guide them and direct them through the pillar of clouds by day and the pillar of fire by night. But instead of going resolutely forward with the shining of God's presence on their journey and being their guide, the people desired to have a report from their own company. And so the Bible said that they chose out 12 men from among them in order that they might go and spy out the land. And when they came back with their report, the Bible tells us that it was divided 10 to 2, and that divided report results in tension, turmoil, and tragedy. Now, the majority report stated, yes, the land is all that God said it would be. It is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But, and you know, when they use that little word but, it simply means disregard what else I've said and listen to what I'm about to say. The cities are walled cities. They're fortified cities. And there are great and strong people that live in the land. And to top it off, there are giants, the sons of Anak, that are there. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And in our own sights, we're like grasshoppers. Pretty dismal report. Now, the minority report said this. The Bible said, Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, all 12 had their facts right, but only Joshua and Caleb had their faith right. In this verse, we see the challenge of cooperation, the challenge of commitment, and the challenge of conquest. In the challenge of cooperation, it says, "Let us, let us." Now, these men were chosen men. These men were chosen whether by choice of Moses or by the choice of the people. We're not told. But probably there was a whole lot of consultation on the matter according to human wisdom. But one thing is for sure, they were chosen to represent the body for the people. Now, they were qualified men. I'm sure they seemed to be the best men for the job. And they were chosen for things like physical endurance, quickness of eye, tact in emergency, and good judgment of the land and people. Now, I'm sure that these men also met men's criteria for leadership. Now, we want to establish the fact that they were chosen men. We know a great deal depends on the sort of men that we select for any endeavor. They need to be men that not only are capable of getting their facts right, but they need to be men of faith in God and a deep conviction that God's will is the right way to go. God's will is the most important thing for us to consider this morning. Now, the survey report, we see in the faithless report that they exaggerated the real difficulties which existed, and they discounted the divine aid, if you will, that had been given to them to accomplish the task. Did they not know that God was going to direct them, and that when God calls us to a task, he will give us the wherewithal, the strength, whatever we need in order to accomplish that task? Now, I'm going to ask a question this morning. Did God really want them to succeed, and did God really want them to go into the promised land and depossess the inhabitants and take it for their homeland? The obvious answer is yes. God made a promise to Abraham back in the Ur of Chaldees. He said, I will give you a land that is flowing with milk and honey. He said, I will make you a blessing in order that you might be a blessing to the entire world. And that was through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another question that I would ask this morning, since we're probably going to talk a little bit about the state of the church, does God want us to be successful in the year 2017? I think we all know the obvious answer is yes, God wants us to be successful. He wants us to make progress, and he wants us to rely upon him and his power to accomplish all that he set out for us to do. Now, let me tell you that last year was a pretty good year for this church. We finally reached the point that we averaged 100 plus in attendance. And we reached the point in the last quarter that we averaged 120 in attendance. And I want you to keep that number in mind. We also, in our financial support, we took in $187,000 in tithes and offerings. Amen. We took in $67,000 in the building fund to pay off the land and the house, the mortgage. We gave out over $26,000 to outside causes, to missions, to Bible college, to co-op. And we helped a lot of people along the way. Amen. And I'm thankful for what God has done in this church. But I don't believe that God wants us to take the attitude, because now we've got a decent number of folks, that it's our four and no more attitude that will grip our hearts. Brethren, souls are at stake this morning. People are dying and going to hell all around us this morning. I'm convinced that God intends for us to get up and go out with a fervor and with a determination to reach out to those that are lost and bring them in that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, on the backside of the desert, needed some reassurance that God was with him and that he would help him to deliver Israel out from Egyptian bondage. And so the Lord said unto him in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, "Certainly, Moses, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, and when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain, the Mount Horeb," where they spent 12 months. God keeps his promises. God always does what he says he will do. And so we can depend upon him this morning. He says for us to go out into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in that my house might be full. Now, I believe that's God's mandate to us. He said, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, and lo, I'll be with you always." We can depend on him. Well, the faithful report. We can easily imagine that Joshua and Caleb were probably not very popular with their colleagues. They were not very comfortable being the two against the ten, and it was not an easy thing to agree upon some report. And I'm sure that they had discussion, they had probably confrontation, and they had dissension. And maybe it was that the moderator at times had trouble keeping order. But they were the lone dissenters to the majority report, and like the 401st prophet, they were clearly out of step with the majority, but not with God. So they agreed to disagree and make report. Perhaps the whole nation, in that nation, there were not 12 men to be found of the right stamp in every particular way. And even if they had been found, they might have failed to command the respect and the confidence of the people. So instead of looking for him who had already done great things for them, they chose to put their confidence and their trust in 12 men. Had they so soon forgot how that God, with marvelous miracles and plagues, delivered them out of the land of Egypt, the land of bondage? They had cried out. They were under hard taskmasters. And they had cried out for God to deliver them. And after 400 years, God heard their cry and he brought them out of the land of bondage by miracle. He parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. He let the sea come back on the approaching Egyptian army. When they began to complain they didn't have any water, Moses struck the rock and water came forth. When they complained, we don't have any food. You brought us out here to die of starvation. Would to God we had the onions, the leeks, and the garlics back in Egypt. And God provided manna. When they got kind of tired of manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at night, he gave them quail. God gave them clothes that did not wear out for 40 years. He protected them against the enemy while they were out in the wilderness. Had they so soon forgotten? Has God been good to you? Has God blessed you? Has he blessed us as a church? Yes, yes. God has been good to us. And we can depend upon him to continue to be good to us if we stay in the will of God. The secret of success in any endeavor is let us. Cooperation is what made Pentecost possible. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, out of the company of 120, they were all there. But more than just being there, the Bible said they were all in one accord. All in one accord. You know, I said something about 120. Don't forget that number. There was 120 on the day of Pentecost. That's about us, isn't it? 120. I really believe this morning that God wants us to all be in one accord just like they were on the day of Pentecost. And as a result, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit of God came down, empowered those disciples. They went out into the highways and the hedges of life there in the marketplace of society, and they proclaimed Jesus Christ, and the Bible said 3,000 folks got saved that day. And there was an evangelistic fervor that gripped the church, and they went out and God blessed the church. He added to the church. He multiplied it, and he multiplied it greatly because they were in one accord. What if that had been in our day? Well, the report might have been something like this: out of the company of 120, only 40 could be present. Because Peter had bought a cottage on Lake Galilee and had to go see it. James had company come in on Saturday night, and so he couldn't come. And John stayed up late on Saturday night, and so he slept in. Matthew had set up a business conference, and so he couldn't come. And the results, no Pentecost. No Pentecost. Being in one accord about what God has called us to do. I believe in this year of 2017, a goal that we're going to set, and I'm arbitrarily setting it for you, a goal that we're going to set together is that by the last quarter, that we average 150 plus. Amen. In church. Amen. I can tell you that a second step is I want us in 2017 to pay off that mortgage. We owe $97,000. We started out a little over a year ago with $225,000. We paid about $130,000 this last year. I'm so thankful how God has blessed us. But a next step is that we need to start making some plans for building new facilities to accommodate our growing congregation. We got a lot of folks out today. It's a holiday. We got a lot of folks out. If we all come together, this house is full. And that's a good thing. That's not a problem. It's a good thing. But we've got to make provision, and you can't wait till the last minute to do that. You've got to start. But we got to get rid of that indebtedness. I want you to pray about it, about what God would have you give. We've given over $250,000 last year in everything. And I think that's amazing for this congregation. I think that is a tribute to your commitment to the Lord. And I thank God for you and for all that's been accomplished this last year. We need workers. We need some assistant teachers right now. We need some assistant bus drivers right now to help to fill in the gap. We've got folks that work in all these capacities, but they need some help sometimes. And we need to get involved. I believe the work is hindered when there's not enough people to do the work. God help us that we'll all jump in and we'll all put our shoulders to the wheel together and we'll all accomplish what God's called us to do. We're not to just sit here and rest on our laurels. We're to reach out to the lost. It's not about numbers. It's not about just filling this house. It's the fact that there are souls out there that need the Lord, and they're just waiting on somebody like us to go and tell them, come in to the house of God. I'm convinced God will save the lost, but we've got to go out and get them. You know, the woods are full of them. They're everywhere, and they need the Lord, and we need to love them and bring them into the house of God. Well, the challenge of commitment, let us go up now. To go up implies advance, and it would be going up steep terrain. And it would not always be easy. There would be toil and fatigue. The easier path would simply be not to go up at all. But God says the challenge is to go up. Just go. God has called us out of the darkness of sin into his marvelous light, and he is equipping us in order to make a difference right where we are. This church helps to equip in order that we can go out and that we can make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. I preached at the National Convention one year, and it was on leadership. In our denomination, and I was serving as moderator during the time, and we were kind of having some difficulties. And the Mississippi River is that mystical dividing line between two philosophies of ministry. And I got up and said some things, you know, where angels fear to tread. But they weren't paying my salary, and I knew I was coming back home to a church that loved me. And I told them, I said, you know, we're supposed to be united. We have adopted a plan of support for our denomination called a cooperative program, where every church gives a tenth of their income in order to underwrite missions, the Bible colleges, etc. And I made the statement that we voted for it, we adopted it, but not everybody does it. Now, I'm of the opinion that if you vote for something, you do it. If the body votes for it, you're a part of the body, you do it. And I was a little bit hacked over the fact that the western part of the west of the Mississippi, we all participated in the cooperative program. And so we were paying all the bills and undergirding the whole denomination, and we weren't, you know, upset about that too much. But it's just not fair that they want to run things, but they don't want to pay the bills. And so I chided them a little bit. And in the area of missions, you know, we support missionaries instead of missions. That has been changed to where we now support missions instead of missionaries. And then we don't want to pay for, and we just bought a building for the national headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee, and the eastern part didn't want to pay for it. Again, the co-op states, Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma being the largest, praise the Lord. We were paying the bills, you know, and we finally got it paid off. And I wished I could tell you today that it's a whole lot better. It's some better, but it's not a whole lot better. But you know, leadership finds a way to get things done. We've got some great men, some great women in our church. And I do believe that we will find a way to do what we've set out to do in this year that is coming. The problem within our denomination was not outside. It was not the world. It was not the government. The problems were within. I received a letter this week from a good friend that's a missionary, home missionary in Pennsylvania. Been there for a number of years, had a hard time getting the church established. But he told me, he said that we're almost there. We want you to pray for us. We got some problems. He said, I'd like to tell you that the problems are with the city. I'd like to tell you that the problems are with the planning commission or the fire marshal. But he said the problems are within. In most churches, that's where the problems are. And if everybody comes together like they did on the day of Pentecost, then we'll have revival, we'll accomplish things, and we'll see souls saved. I don't believe we've got a long time to go in order to accomplish what God set for us to do. He said, work for the while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Well, the final point is a challenge of conquest and possess the land, for we are well able. It's decision time. It's great to accomplish things, to get things done. God had brought them to this very verge of entering into Canaan, but they could not enter in unless their will united itself with God's will in order to accomplish what God wanted for them to do. Unless they chose to go in his name in strength, they would not go in. Their future at that hour was in their own hands, and they were confronted with the crises of decision. Which of the two persuasions would they follow? The one said the obstacles are too great, but God is too small. Wouldn't that be awful? Wouldn't that be awful to think that our God is too small to do those little minute things? I don't believe that the problems that we're facing as far as trying to, it is not a problem to get to 150 or to pay that mortgage off or to get more folks involved in the work. That's nothing to God. I believe that if everybody steps up and you just do what you can, it'll be enough, and God will bless this church. You see, the problem was not on the outside. It was on the inside with the children of Israel. The other side said, let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able. And the people chose to believe the negative report. And you know what happened? The Bible tells us that God reached the point that he said, and this is in essence what God said, all right, if you don't want to go in, you don't have to go. But if you don't go into the promised land and do as I've commanded you to do and enabled you to do, then you'll pay a price for it. They were sent back into the wilderness from which they came. And for 40 years, they wandered in that wilderness until one by one, two by two, every one of them, 20 years of age and older, died. There were tombstones all over that desert because of disobedience. I'm convinced that we're passing through this life. We don't have a long time to be here. I'm convinced the Lord's coming back soon, and whatever we do, we need to do quickly. I'm convinced that what we need to do is do what God has commanded us to do, and that is to build the church, to edify the body of believers and win the lost. That's our job, you know. You put it succinctly, that's our job. Win the lost, build the church. Win the lost, build the church. And if we'll do that, God will bless and he'll supply all of these other needs that we are confronted with. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to step up and every one of us do what we can do? I'm not asking you to do what you can't do. Do what you can do. Are we ready to do that this morning? Amen. Are we ready to do that this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's do it. Will you bow with me for prayer?